Podcaster? I hardly know her. Am I right?
Meet Megan Bryant. She's an entrepreneur, a single mom of four young kids, a comedian, a super energetic improv trainer, and an award-winning author. Megan is passionate about creating happier, healthier human connections through humor. This podcast dives into all sorts of topics that tackle personal growth, professional strategies, and sharing positive messages to build up the communities around us. Each of us can make an impact. So keep in mind that you don't have to be a big deal to do big things. Thank you for tuning in. This is the I Hardly Know Her podcast. And here's your host, Megan Bryant.
Today's episode, I cover three types of yes, according to me, Megan Bryant. Number one is the obligatory yes. Number two is a genuine, chosen yes. And number three is the dirty yes. What are all of these things? You'll find out in today's episode. Thanks so much for tuning in and enjoy. I just got done listening to an audiobook called The Four Agreements, and I've heard of this book several times from people who I really admire, and it came up again actually a couple of different times during the past like 10 days or so from different places. Saw a post on Facebook, and then another friend had told me, like, if you haven't read it, run, don't walk to get your copy. So I finally got it. It was already on my wish list on Audible, and I went ahead and got it. It's short when you're listening to it. Well, it breezes by. Well, plus I listen to my audio books on what, 1.5, 1.75 usually, so that they can keep up with my head. With the speed and whatever. So that was a really good book. And this entire episode is not necessarily about that. It just spurred for me some thoughts that were really, really good. So I will say what they are. The four agreements are these. Number one, be impeccable with your word. Number two, don't take anything personally. Number three, don't make assumptions. And number four, always do your best. The reason this actually came up the most recently in conversation with my friend was because a lot of times right now I'm not feeling like I am doing as well as I should be. And we all know that we shouldn't should on ourselves of things that we perceive as what we should be doing, whether it's a personal thing or a certain career achievement or whatever. And I just know that my ability to produce things without running ragged and being tired and over maxed emotionally, is that a term? I guess that probably makes sense, right? It's just not the same as it used to be. And so I mentioned a couple episodes ago about my task board, and I've been revisiting very carefully all the things that I've done in the past, all my different accomplishments, and looking into the future, like what types of things do I want to set my general trajectory towards? Because if there's one thing that I've learned that's the most important and one of the most difficult things for me personally, it is to be here now, to be present in this very moment. And I have really struggled with letting go of things from the past because they just really bug me. I feel frustrated. In some ways, certain frustrations from the past haven't actually really completely gone away, and maybe that's why it's sort of hard to heal. And yet I feel like I have sacrificed a lot of my opportunities for happy moments because I get consumed with things that are in the past. So she reminded me the other day to just do your best, and my best today is going to be really different from my best tomorrow. And we have to just do what is that very best in the moment. And I've really, really been putting a lot of effort and specific mental focus on really just being in the moment, moment to moment as it comes. And as I've mentioned before, in my little obsession of improv space, is when I'm in that moment to really be a participant in it. to feel the feelings that are associated with it, the good and the bad, and to do what I can control to have it be the most positive experience possible, even when there's something challenging, or especially when something is challenging, to look at it in that moment to go, okay, what can I learn from this? What is something I want to take as a positive experience? And more importantly, what do I want to be aware of from whether it's something I have done, what a choice I've made, or something that I am on the receiving end of someone else's decisions at work or at play or whatever it is. These decisions are just happening all the time. And we get to make the choice of how to move forward in the future. So the point of this episode is to talk about the three different forms of yes that exist, in my opinion, at least as of the date of this recording. So as I was listening to this audiobook, The Four Agreements, it really brought a lot of clarity on these very simple things. They are tied to the principle of yes and, which is, of course, the core of improvisation. And which is so funny because I teach that whenever I'm teaching workshops for companies or whatever it is, I teach yes and as the core of improv, and yet it's with my own spin on it. Because when I learned about yes and in the performance space, yes meant to agree. And on stage, that works. When you're in a performance and a show, it's easy to agree in imaginary land because you don't have any real specific, like an actual, what am I trying to say? Like a real connection to that. It's just for that 3 to 7 minute skit or whatever, right? That you are agreeing with each other so that the scene can make progress. As I started to apply yes and in a more actionable daily way, it was a pivot to acceptance and acknowledgement, not agreement, because that was more powerful, in my opinion, when we are in the everyday life where we often don't agree with people and yet we need to interact with other humans in order to function. We want it. I think we all crave it, and we definitely as humanity need those types of connections to just survive in the healthiest way possible. And we interact with people because of work, whether it's our coworkers or our bosses or our clients or other people's work. When we are going and taking advantage of products and services that we need, we're constantly interacting with people, and we can be more effective with that when we use a yes and mentality to accept and acknowledge and I would argue really appreciate that there are different perspectives. When I learn that someone has a different perspective of mine, it genuinely now really sparks a curiosity as to what formed that opinion. So here's the three different yeses. I'm going to dive into them, and then we'll see how it all comes back here together. The first one is an obligatory yes. So think of a time when someone has either volunteered you for something or made a decision that you felt like you had to go along with. Somehow it's something that was not your choice. There was resistance, whether you said it out loud or not. This type of a yes is when someone makes you feel like you need to do something. And sometimes that someone might be you. I know I have been guilty of this, where I put something on myself because I feel like I'm supposed to do a certain thing, even if it's not something I truly want to do. It's like proving myself to maybe to who. Sometimes it's because I think, oh, I this might get this validation I'm hungry for from a certain person or organization or whatever. And so sometimes this obligatory yes is something we put on ourselves. And the energy behind that is not positive. Whether we're being told to do something or people have set expectations, again, either someone else putting these things on us or we sometimes are guilty of doing this to ourselves, it's this obligatory, uncomfortable, resentful feeling that starts to come up. It often looks like we have more things on our calendar than we wish we had on our calendar, stuff that we really don't want to do, stuff that maybe is not actually our strong suit, and it would be better suited to have a certain work task assigned to someone who actually loves to do that task. It also, for me, was to say, like, doing things because I felt like I was being given good advice and I didn't trust my own gut in some circumstances, even as far back as times when, like, I was told about, like, the law of chastity. And I mean, it was such a loose description in my youth that I didn't really understand it. I understood enough that we weren't supposed to have sex. I didn't really know what that meant about my own body. It blurred pretty closely into the scope of modesty and just being respectful or respectable, so that you don't appear evil or appear trashy. Or so in that one example, it was shrouded with just enough it was like unclear enough that it left a lot of room for curiosity. And then when people are told don't do this, then what do we want to do? We usually want to push the limits and do it anyway. And so that's something that I feel like can be a really slippery slope. And as a parent now, I try to be really mindful of it. Like, if my parents my kids ask me about something, I will give them an idea, or I will often give them more than one option. I recognize how often I say no to my kids. I look for the times I can say yes to them. I try to include them in decisions about why we need to do chores or whatever, or essentially just make sure that they're included in the conversation more so that there's less uncertainty. Because when I was young, I just took what little, very shallow just meaning very non-thorough information about certain things. And then I let my curiosity run wild on things and then ended up having some challenges come from pushing the limits of whatever with specific regard to chastity and whatever. And it's not like I was wildly promiscuous or anything. I just, at the time, I felt like I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And that's what I think we kind of always want to do. And so it's when somebody tries to take their opinion and make it more valid than your own, and then we end up having to make up stories. You know, the only times I've ever found myself in a space where I was fibbing about things, which I really, really get uncomfortable about lying, it was because I wasn't wanting to do the things I was being told to do. As a yes was being pushed onto me, I was feeling resistance and I was wanting to be myself and do these things that I thought, man, I still feel like I'm a good person. These choices I want to make actually are not hurting other people. I mean, the vast majority of things I want to do in life are for the ability to explore opportunities and to try new things and to see what are the limits of what I can do with creating performance material or writing stuff in potentially in future books and whatever I decide I feel like I want to say on a podcast. Like, it's to really be as open as possible, and by doing so, invite other people into that space. So the obligatory yes becomes really much like a yeah, but, which is the opposite of yes and. It is like just not a fun, enthusiastic space for building something new and collaborating. It is often tethered to just not good feelings when we feel like we have to do something. The second yes is a genuine chosen yes. When we get to make the choice of trying something new, having a new experience, however big or little. Like, I decided that I wanted to go skydiving once to support a friend who didn't have any other friends who wanted to go with her. And I was scared about it and also thought, oh my gosh, that could be such a wild experience. And I got to say yes to that. Sometimes it's also like, I'm just going to say yes to turning my computer off instead of working late and go take a hot bath. And it doesn't have to be big, elaborate things. Just anytime we have the opportunity to say yes to ourselves, I think it is very fortifying and empowering. And as much as I want to be able to say yes to the things that I want and need in my life and be excited about it and let my like really high energy passion flow through it, which I know the certain things that I do in life that I'm like, yes, this is what I want to do. Like teaching improv in the workplace. When I get to go and shake up the normal atmosphere of a work environment and just play with adults for like a few hours and share stories and like, yes, we laugh. And we also usually have like these sensitive moments where we talk about all these different things that we experience as humans, these nonverbal cues, our body language, our own unique perspectives. It makes it so exciting to feel an opportunity to say yes to myself. And I want to open up and encourage more spaces for people to have that. And that's where, as I mentioned before, I look for the wins with saying yes with my kids. Sometimes I even use yes and when there is, at least in that moment, a no, like maybe not right now or whatever, because kids, you know, are constantly asking for things. They want stuff on the grocery list, or they want to go do a certain activity, or they want to watch whatever show, and they're constantly asking questions all day long and looking for those things. And I want them to learn how powerful it is to have yes as a positive, forward-moving, like, action tool. And especially to have them make a choice where they're like, yes, I chose that and I am so proud of it, or I really love that experience, or have that, yes, ooh, I tried that and that was not the best choice. And now I know, and now I'm learning, and using that yes and to accept and acknowledge that, yeah, we are going to have different opinions. We are going to have different experiences and different reactions to the same experience. Like, you could take 10 people into the same room and have them each try the same, I don't know, homemade shepherd's pie recipe. And each of the 10 may like it or not like it and have differences of opinion if there was the right ingredients in it or whatever. Like, that's kind of a simple, super simple example. But everyone is seeing and hearing the same exact experience differently. And to not only accept it, but really appreciate it. I love knowing that whenever I meet someone new, or even people that I've known for a long time, and especially my friends who are probably equally as obsessed with like personal growth and stuff as I am, with reading new books and learning new ways to do things and continuing to add new skills to their brain, like investing and things that I want to learn. I want to learn how to play my nice guitar I've had since like 2004. Like, constantly stretching ourselves to learn new things and shape our perspectives to be broader with new information. Yes, and allows us, especially when we choose it, to hear other people, to say, yes, you have a different opinion of me than mine. And I want to understand why you have that opinion. What formed it? What types of experiences did you have? One of the things I always say when it's the beginning segment of an improv workshop with the teams, like in the workplace, is just to briefly close their eyes. And I won't go through the whole exercise right now because it takes like 10 or 15 minutes. But the gist of it is that we look for different memory points from our youngest years to teenage years to our 20s to present day, and recognizing that all of us, we were all born somewhere, probably all different hospitals, possibly different cities, possibly different household dynamics. Maybe some are single or, you know, individual kids. What is it called? Only children. So, maybe some are like me and they are one of many kids. Who has parents that are still married? Who has parents that are divorced? Who had parents that were religious? Who had parents that were not? Who lived in a big mansion of a house in a big neighborhood with a pool, and who grew up in a trailer park? We all have these different experiences and none of them are any less valid. And going from that moment of picturing your peer group in this room as babies, at one point they came out fresh into the world just like I did, just like you did. And in that split moment, their world started to form with whatever circumstance they were born into. And some people are born into very challenged experiences. And some are born into very comfortable yet challenging in other ways. Like having the worldly comforts doesn't necessarily mean they have all the other comforts and luxuries that might make the supposedly most ideal scenario. And recognizing that is actually really, to me, it's very amazing because every thought that has ever fleeted through someone's mind and every experience they've gone on, every trip they've taken, every time they've written a journal entry, all of those things have continuously like created who this being is today. And then I'm like, and then here we are, you know, wherever I am. And so what we were born at whatever point, blah, blah, blah. And then fast forward to this day on a Tuesday morning in Meridian, Idaho, or wherever we are, and we're here in this room now for these couple of hours together, and to recognize and appreciate that if we choose to excitedly say yes to the opportunities that could unfold and really listen and hear and learn from each other and not assume because that's one of the agreements. Don't assume anything. Don't make assumptions. Unless, I would say, the only assumption we could make outwardly is to assume that people are trying their best in this moment based off of everything they know, at least up to this moment. And some people, as we know, when we run into people who frustrate that crap out of us, they have had some experience that has formed their life to be where they think that the way that they're behaving, even if it's not really the best, that it is acceptable, and that's probably because of what has been put on them, experiences that they've had, and maybe they haven't yet had this like come to Jesus moment for themselves or a rock bottom or their own little aha to go, ooh, I could do better. I don't have to be an asshole. Some people just have not yet gotten to that point. And so when we step into that space and really think about it, like I have really made some changes, and I can't remember if I've mentioned this in another episode before, but I used to have really bad road rage, and I really have pulled out of that because I choose to assume the best of others. I assume that the person in the other car, like if I accidentally cut someone off or if they do, like I only honk if there is danger and I think that honking is going to help. And the same is true, like because of the yes and, right? And the same is true when we look at corrective behaviors, like we don't want to do things because we're told. Nobody does. Nobody wants to make a change because someone says you have to do this. People want to make a change when they decide to change, not because someone else will change them. I know that kind of seems basic, and yet like sometimes I still hear people say things like, oh, I rescued him, or I was able to fix him, or what I'm like, what are you even talking about? You have no clue what is happening. And yet, even when I find myself going, what are you saying? Then I go, oh, okay. Well, unfortunately, I'm going to accept that person, or not unfortunately, but I am going to accept that person who is currently saying, oh, I fixed this person, or they needed me. Oh, when someone says how much someone else needed them, I'm like, get over yourself. And yet I know that when people say that, it's because they are so hungry for a validation or a filling a void inside themselves that they don't usually even realize they're doing it. And so just keeping ourselves open to that, that, where'd my train of thought go? Changes. Oh, yeah. I was going to say one other thing. This is a slightly unhinged from where my train of thought was going a second ago. But I've had people that have told me in my improv workshops that they're like, oh, so-and-so needs to take your workshop. My husband should take this. My teenager should take this. Or my kids or whatever. Or we need this at this other office and whatever. And I'm like, yes, I do agree that everybody needs an exposure to improv. However, they do need to be the ones to choose it. When people like to choose to take what they want from it. Just like I was saying earlier, the 10 people eating the, what did I say, shepherd's pie? The same 10 people could be in my improv workshop. And even if they're hearing the principle of yes and, everyone will interpret it different based off of what their level of awareness is, what their current experience is in life, what their willingness is to accept and acknowledge that there are other opinions and other ways to do things and more than one way to complete a task. It's you can't force it on someone. And so when people ask or they tell me, so-and-so needs to hear this, then I kind of just want to be like, what compelled you to say that? Like, what are they, what is the disconnect within that relationship where they feel like someone needs to hear it? And then why is there an assumption that that person will then hear the lesson the exact same way that that other person just did? Does that make sense? Am I even making any type of coherent statement here? I will give a tiny bit more clarity, though, of one other thing that I just said was that people have to choose to participate. When I go into team events, it's a little tricky sometimes because I don't, no matter what stage people are at in life, they always get something out of the full workshop. It's just who gets what from which activity or which rule. There's no way to predict that. What's funny, though, is when I get hired to go into a company event, I tell them not to say what we are doing for the team building event, because people will assume they know what to expect from an improv workshop. And I don't want people to be swayed by those assumptions that they have to be funny or that they're going to be put on the spot with making these silly scenes or whatever. And so I always tell my clients, I was like, you can let them know that you have a guest presenter if you want or need to. Just let them know, or don't let them know it's an improv workshop. Let them know it's a communication workshop, which is ultimately what it is. Because people will automatically judge the unknown because of possibly one exposure to improv that they've seen, and they will think that that's the end-all be-all when really the workshop is totally different. So just to add a little bit of clarity to the one thought that, and I don't force anyone to learn any one thing, it is that the space of an improv workshop is so beautiful because it has so many different types of activities and learning styles that can be addressed. And there's so many different principles and applications that come that everybody gets to choose their own adventure within the improv space and realize that what maybe they thought was a weakness actually isn't. And it's all, everyone has their own different takeaways. And so at the end of the workshop, I love to take a quick lap around the circle and say, what is a word that you could describe from today or that came up from today that you would not have expected? And it's always very eye-opening because it's broken down to very simple human connections and positive and enlightening and all these different things, even though everybody just learned something different that was relevant for them, because they got to choose to take away whatever element they wanted. They were saying yes to just the parts that mattered to them in the moment. So that was number two, is a genuine chosen yes. I mean, that's the short version of it, because I could talk about yes and all day. And the third one is, I can't remember where I heard about this. I think it was in another book that I read the other day. And I sure as heck can't remember, but it's called The Dirty Yes. And it was, I feel like I maybe brought it up, I might have started talking about it last week. Sometimes, here's the challenge with me, you guys, is sometimes I think through like what I want to talk about on a podcast or on a live stream or on whatever I'm doing that week. And I'll also write notes. And I hear the rehearsal of it in my brain so much that then I go, wait a second, did I already do that? Nevertheless, it's often that I've heard the same point more than one time in life. And then I go, ooh, yeah, that was a good reminder. So if this is a reminder, then so be it. So the dirty yes is simply when someone says yes, as if they agree with you or if they have your back or if they really are like trying to work with you or seem collaborative when in fact they have no intention of following through with that, and say yes in the moment, kind of just to appease you or the situation, the team or whoever it is. And then they backpedal and then they change it and then they sidestep or whatever it is so that, you know, they don't actually get pinned with that. So that's where kind of in it brings it all full circle that technically I feel like there's three different ways to use yes. And the dirty yes being something where this has actually happened to me recently more than once with the same person who I try to limit my interactions with as much as I possibly can. And yet is someone that I actually do have to interact with in my day job space. And the yes comes across like, oh, like they, my opinion is asked. Here it looks for me most commonly right now is I get asked my opinion. I share my opinion. I give information on why that's my opinion. I give possible, like I do with my kids, I give other possible solutions if I see there's possible solutions. I also try in general in the workplace to not stay so attached to any one outcome just so I can be fluid in supporting whatever decision is ultimately made. And then this yes will come. Oh, yeah, that makes total sense. I'm so glad I talked to you. That sounds great. That's what we're going to do. And then 5-10 minutes later, sometimes a few hours later, an email will come out that says, after thinking about such and such, and it will include other people too, after thinking about such and such, here's what's actually going to happen. And I'm like, well, why even bother saying yes if you don't have any intentions of actually implementing or following through, like, and why ask for opinions? So again, in the yeah, but realm, where if someone is like already looking for the worst case scenario, or they're looking kind of for a validation, I think, for why their opinion is better by gathering other opinions just to maybe further emphasize their own position. I'm not 100% sure exactly why it happens, because there's some variations to the style. I just feel very strongly that you should never say yes as an agreement if you do not agree. I think that it causes rifts. I think that it breaks down trust. I think that it is a horrible way to communicate. If you do agree with someone, yes is very easy to say. It is very much in that number two column of a genuine, chosen yes, enthusiastic, let's do this, or I think that's amazing, or I love whatever that thing is. It's the most delicious pumpkin pie I've ever had, whatever it is. I must be hungry because I keep using food references. You can use yes, and even when you don't agree, though, trade in the dirty yes where you're just trying in that moment to appease someone or get out of the situation or whatever, and then it ends up making it look like the area of trust or the space of trust has been broken, because if you say yes and you immediately change your position, you didn't actually say yes. And then how are people going to trust you in the future if you say yes, if there's not follow through? It's almost like you forfeit the ability to maintain a good reputation or even build a good reputation if you say yes and really you don't ever act upon it. So be mindful of how and when you say yes. And I say you, obviously including me, because these things, as I talk about them, it just helps further reinforce the principles that I really truly believe in. And I love to catch myself in ways to improve. And so using yes and to like in all of those same situations. And this is someone who has actually been to my workshops and commonly, as nice as and well-intended as it is, she's constantly being positive about my improv classes and tells people, oh, I've been to her classes, they're so great, la, 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 la. And sometimes uses yes and with a yes but or a yeah but mentality. And I'm like, it doesn't work that way. You could genuinely still, even if you don't agree, say yes. I hear your opinion. Thank you so much for sharing that. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to give me your perspective. I will take it into consideration. And well, whatever the decision is, XYZ, or maybe the decision doesn't come right then. But when somebody disagrees, or especially if I disagree with someone and I need to get out of a situation, a conversation or whatever, I will give a yes, I hear you, and this is my next step. Like, give the validation that that whatever that person said or has on their mind, it's a valid thought or a thing or a task that needs to happen. And you don't always have to be involved with it. Yes, ooh, that sounds like a very important task at work. And I'm not the most equipped for that. I think that it would be great if Susan does that. She loves social media or whatever it is, right? Like looking for the way to hear the challenge, hear the different perspective, acknowledge it so that the person on the receiving end is hearing that yummy sound of yes, and also adding the additional information of what the appropriate next steps are. So those are my three forms of yes. The obligatory yes, a genuine, enthusiastically chosen yes, and a dirty yes. What kind of yes do you guys use in life? And when you hear the other yeses or feel the other types of yeses and they have a negative vibe attached to them, what do you do about it? What are the steps that you take? And I hope that there maybe was a teeny bit of insight in there of how you can use yes and to more regularly choose yes for yourself. By doing that and becoming happier and more in control of your life, it gives natural yes-anding tendencies to all of the people around you in your space, at home and at work and everywhere. And when you are noticing those things, what can you do to be empowered by it and to give that that validation to those that differ in your space? As I think now more than ever, and I don't know that the world is ever going to get more agreeable on anything. Instead of being combative and arguing with people, look for those ways to say, yes, I hear you. That's a different opinion than mine. And this is my opinion. If you need to share your opinion or just say, and I need to unfollow you on social media. Maybe you don't actually need to say that out loud. You can consciously make those decisions though, and try to get away from the obligatory yeses. When people are telling you either that you have to do something or that you can't do something or whatever the thing is, when you're feeling inside yourself that you are having something put on you, a yes put on you that you're not choosing, you will be able to feel that. If you are not feeling it right in this moment or if you can't think of some specific cases, I hope you will notice them in the future so that you can catalog that and go, okay, wait. Ooh, I am being yesed on in a forceful manner, and that's not the same as yes-anding in disagreement. I'm sure that I'll continue this conversation on the world of yes more and more because it is really the lifeblood of my mindset, and even when I have my grumpy days and stuff, I will hear in my mind that I need to practice what I preach, similarly to what I think I talked about in the last episode. Yes, I will hear myself say it. And sometimes I have to actually say it out loud because the words are powerful. Yes, I am having a headache. And all I can do in this moment is to lay down and rest and be good to my body. Yes, I'm behind on a work project. And the way I can get back on track is starting with this one special or specific step. Yes, I feel bitterness about a certain interaction with my coworker, and I'm going to choose to remedy it by doing the best I can in being a team player. And, you know, they show up all over from the minute you wake up. Yes, I'm going to wake up on time and I'm going to start the day with vigor. Or yes, I'm going to snooze my alarm 3 times and the day is still going to continue at some point and it'll just maybe be a little bit scattered. And that's okay. Maybe that's going to be your best of the day. So be generous and gentle with yourself as you explore how to be empowered with the best ways to use yes. Cool. Thanks for listening. I hope that you are all well. And yes, there is a crazy pandemic still happening, and we can still choose to bit by bit put good things back out into the world and to find joy in little things in our lives. And I hope that you are able to find those little nuggets of joy. Here's a quick podcaster's note from yours truly. One of the things that I like to do to encourage myself to give some solid yes and moments, because I'm also very obsessed with multitasking, is on Sundays when I'm usually alone and I don't have my kids back quite yet, I make a deal with myself that when I record my podcast episode, then I get to go for a walk. And it's while I'm on my walk that I do the editing. So I'm getting fresh air and moving my body, and all of that feels so good. And I'm checking off the box of keeping the commitment to myself, which is that I really genuinely want to do this podcast more often. Right now, that may change someday in the future. For now, it is something that I really look forward to, and I take lots of random notes throughout the week, most of which never make it into an episode, or at least haven't yet. But I do find it's fun to have a little bit of a reward system so that I feel interested, encouraged, and inspired to do the things that I want to do, and especially when I'm treating myself and not expecting those rewards to come from anyone else. So really, whether or not people listen to this episode is pretty irrelevant. I feel refreshed and energized about my excitement and passion for using yes and in my own life. And I am currently, in this very moment, reaping the benefits of fresh air and appreciating the sounds and sights in my cute little corner of suburbia, and feeling so much gratitude for the simple things that are within my control. So just wanted to add on a quick little note here to possibly encourage others to look for ways to reward yourself and be excited to do things instead of sometimes feeling like dread or tasks or I use that word a lot too, tasks. It's a cute word. But for a long time, I was feeling frustrated with myself because I wasn't putting episodes out as often as I wanted to. And I just wanted to make it a fun, refreshed approach as I dove back into a regular commitment of putting out episodes each week. So there's something, at least for me. And take what you will or don't. Why do I do that? Maybe someday I'll cover my abandonment issues, which definitely even show up here when I'm like, I'm going to tell you that you can leave before you hurt me. Give people permission to leave instead of just being like, dude, I'm awesome. I'm fun to hang out with. And I have some important things to say sometimes. So anywho, all for another episode. Okay, now I'm getting really winded from talking and walking at a very brisk pace, and I just see a really nice Jeep Wrangler Rubicon, and it's nice to know there's other like-minded Jeepsters in my hood. All right, okay, be well.
Thanks for listening to the I Hardly Know Her podcast. You can follow along with all of Megan's shenanigans at meetmeganbryant.com. I'm Sean Hancock with recycledmindscomedy.com.